This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings. Michael Lombardi and Stormy Bonantoni with you live on VSiN and DraftKings Network. Lots to get to over the course of the next hour. NFL schedule release, NBA postseason action underway, and of course a busy weekend in sports with the PGA Championship and Preakness upon us. We'll have Harry Gagnon, former sportsbook supervisor and host of the Against All Odds podcast, join us coming up in just a little bit. But Michael, let's dive right in because we already know now the five international game slate and the full schedule release is going to come out later tonight.
I can't wait. Yeah, the full schedule tonight. But the international games are always fun because, you know, we get to watch them on Sunday morning. And I love that. You know, they start at 9:30. Our show starts at 10. And we're able to watch the, you know, we're able to watch those, which are a lot of fun and kind of in-game betting that can go on with that. And remember, the guide that I think everybody needs to partake in will come out. I think Adam said earlier today that it comes out at the end of June, so it gets you ready for some of these games in terms of breaking down the NFL teams and the NC2A teams, which announced their schedule, too, on opening weekend. So I'm excited for it, Stormy. I really am. I can't wait. I find it interesting, and I said this to you earlier. I don't understand how the Bears are a half a point favorite against the Jags. And the very next weekend in London, the Jags are a six-point favorite against the Patriots. So does that mean the Bears would be a six-and-a-half, almost touchdown favorite against the Patriots on a neutral field?
I just imagine there has to be a little bit baked in of the Jags, like, having stayed there for the week. Right. Like, I think that there's at least a little bit. I don't know how many points necessarily that would dictate and if this is going to shift. But the Patriots are perceived as one of the worst teams in the league. Their win total is 4.5, and the Jags are going to be comfortable out there in London for a second week in a row. That's the only thing that I can get to from that standpoint.
Yeah, I agree. So I asked this to Femi on the podcast, and, you know, we're in this, May is the love season of the NFL. Everybody loves their team. Everybody loves their players. Everybody's going to the Super Bowl. We're in the love phase, right? All right, let me ask you as an astute person of the NFL, which team, if you could give me three teams, who will have the first pick in the 2025 NFL draft?
Ooh, that's tough to think of right now because you're right. We are in the love phase. I am, you know me, Michael. I'm the most optimistic human being on the planet. So like, I'm like,
I know, that's why I'm asking you.
They could be better than we think, right?
Yeah. I mean, everybody says Carolina, New England, right? I said the Giants.
So right? That's where the I was going to go.
Were mentioned.
That's where I was going to go was either New York, I think, really, unfortunately, despite like the great season they had 2 years ago. Last year threw me off big time, and their quarterback situation scares me a lot. Saquon Barkley no longer being there scares me a lot. That's a team that I could point to. And I'm also, you know this, my significant other is a huge Carolina Panthers fan. So he has me in the optimism of like, this year things are going to get better and I'm buying in a little bit. So we'll see.
Yeah, maybe you two should go to the Munich game since you're there. You know, I mean, you can watch that game over there with Carolina playing the Giants. That game could be for who might have the first pick of the draft. Just saying, Stormy, just saying.
Just saying. See, what I mentioned earlier on the show about how fans that are there in Munich are going to have to drink all the Heffenweizen to get through it, that would be me. Although, as long as I need to make sure I'm not underneath David Tepper's booth, because who knows if that could get out of hand.
Yeah.
By the way,
we're wearing a hat.
While we're on this discussion, though, the Patriots and Panthers plus 450, shortest shots to have the worst record in the league this coming season. So just put that out there. Any other of these lines, though, for the international games stood out to you before we move on?
Yeah, no, I thought that jumped out to me. And the Jets being favored over Minnesota over there, that was a surprise to
me.
Because I don't know what the Jets are, right? I don't know what they are. I thought it would, the line at 3.5 seemed a little, I thought it would be a 3. But the one that just shocks me is the Jaguars can't beat the Bears, but all of a sudden, but then let's extend this. And this is what really made it interesting for me is the Bears, like we know they're opening up. I don't know where they're going to open up. We'll find out where they open up today. But you got to believe that if they're setting the Bears number as a favorite over an AFC South team that made the playoffs 2 years ago, their number is going to be a little inflated in week one. That could be a play right there. I think this number's inflated. Rookie quarterback, all that. It's coming off of last year. I think there's a – I can't wait to see the schedule. Who do the Bears open up with, and what's that line?
Yeah, we talked about it yesterday with Chuck Pagano when he was on the program. The expectations for the Bears have changed a lot. They've got a lot of toys on offense, and they're excited about their young rookie quarterback and the progress that the defense made at the back end of last season. So we'll see if that's real or fugazi by the time we get to the year. But you're thinking numbers inflated where they sit as of right now, and I don't think that you're wrong from that standpoint. Let's go to a little bit of NBA talk here. And like we do every day on the program, find out what's going on in your mind. Here's today's edition of What's on Michael's Mind. Michael, what do you have for the people?
Well, I think, you know, watching the Knicks last night, and, you know, I'm a 76er fan, so I'm not in love with the Knicks. Now, I like Tom Thibodeau a lot. I've had an opportunity to be around him. I spoke at Brad Stevens's coaching clinic a couple years ago, and Tom was there, so I got to know him, and we laughed and joked about some of the things and have kept in touch since. So I know the kind of coach he is, but what I find fascinating is he gets no love. All he gets is criticized from Big Daddy, who's a Knicks fan, all the way through to all the, you know, people outside. Well, he's beating up his team. He's beating up his team. You know, he's not doing anything. And when we look at coaches that are having success, whether it's Dan Hurley, whether it's Tom Thibodeau, whether it's Mike Malone, they all have accountability. They all have standards. And they're all pushing their players to a higher level. Nobody's sitting in there saying, let's go to Dairy Queen after the game. Everybody's happy. Like, they're pushing. And what I found really interesting, Stormy, is I was going through it. ESPN wrote a big article on Thibodeau about, you know, his mannerisms and what he does. And the players were remarkably favorable to him. I mean, they said, like, when he goes in the huddle, he's not one of these coaches who listens to the assistants and then goes in the huddle. As soon as they come to the bench, he's on them and he's telling them what to do. Like, they tell that he knows what's going on in the game. And I thought, to me, one of the best quotes was, to us, about playing time, which I think is true. Brunson said to us, it's more about being so competitive that we don't want to come out of the game. Mm-hmm. Like, even if Tom wants to take us out, we don't want to come out because we want to play. That's the right team. That's the right culture. And I don't think he gets enough love for developing that culture.
Yeah, sure. He catches the criticism for when your team is up 30. Hey, maybe you should be sitting your guys. But exactly what you said there from Brunson.
Right.
They are fighting to play. They want to put their stamp on the series. And you've used the word a number of times today as it pertains to this team. Resilient, and they have proven that they can get up off the mat time and time again, and they did it in a big way last night, a huge win for them to now take a 3-2 series, one win away from their first conference finals appearance since 2000. And looking ahead to the next game, they're getting 5 in Indiana on Friday. They do get that extra day of rest, which I think is going to be significant for New York. Any thoughts on the series there, or even that game, just knowing the home and home way this series has gone?
Right. I think this is obviously the Knicks. I think the Pacers are going to have a hard time beating the Knicks in New York. I really do. But the Knicks had a chance to win game three in Indiana. They had no chance to win game four. Look, I know what we're going to see is an adjustment to the offensive and defensive rebounding that the Knicks just dominated in the game last night. But I do think that's going to be hard for them. One thing we talked about with JVT all through the series is we know that the Pacers are just not a good defensive team. And, you know, they haven't been able to really get Brunson under control. Now, there's so much made about, well, he's got to, you know, if Naismith's on him or Numbard's on him, who's guarding him, who's doing what? Well, both players are minus 15 and minus 12 in the game. Does it really matter who's guarding him? I don't think anybody can guard him. I think that's the reality. And so they can't handle that. And, you know, if Halliburton has another one of those games where game one, he shot 6 times. In the Garden last night, he shot the ball 9 times. Like, he either has to be aggressive or they're not going to win. And I'm not sure that's the case.
Also, just FYI, there is a price discrepancy in this series for those who are interested in the Knicks to win this coming game. They're plus 170 on the money line to beat the Pacers in Indiana, but plus 185 to win the series in six. So always be on the lookout for those different markets to see if you can find a slightly better number. We also have two more games coming up tonight in the NBA, Michael. The Celtics with a chance to close out the Cavs. They've been bet up to 16-point favorites. Boston has, with Donovan Mitchell confirmed out. Jarrett Allen is doubtful, and Caris LeVert is also questionable for Cleveland with a bone bruise.
Yeah, I think it's over with for Cleveland. I don't know if I would take the 16. I think I would wait for in-game on this one, but it's over here. You know it's over here. Now, the next one, Stormy, that's the hard one to handicap because, look, the Mavericks play good defense. They held the Thunder to 38% shooting and lost the game the last time they played them, and because they couldn't make a free throw. I mean, they were horrible from the 3-point line. We know Luka missed one down the stretch that could have tied the game. So I like Dallas. I do. Mm-hmm. Call me naive. I like Dallas. I know what Oklahoma City tried to do in the game the last time they played was to take away Kyrie. They didn't want Kyrie getting off on them. And I think ultimately that's a good strategy, because they feel like Luka's not healthy. Mm-hmm. But I think Kyrie will respond. I really do. I think Kyrie will respond, and I think he'll have more than 9 points in the game.
The two of them definitely struggled last game. We'll see if they can ultimately bounce back. They had a 14-point second-half lead. But your point about the free throw line is significant. You have to make those shots when you're there. 12 of 23 from the foul line. The Mavericks are getting four tonight, plus 145 on the money line. Three of the four games in the series have gone under, the total sitting 213. We are going to take a quick timeout when we come back. Our second edition of GM Translator. Michael's using his BS meter to sift through the noise of what we're hearing at a lot of these off-season press conferences. We'll be right back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
You know, we here on the Lombardi Line want to help you out, and we have a huge deal to do just that right now on VSiN. Our annual subscription is usually $240. You can get it now for just $199, and if you sign up today, you'll also be getting an extra 2 full months for free. So that's 14 months of VSiN Pro for less than 50 cents a day. And all you need to do is use our promo code Lombardi. With VSiN Pro access, you get instant access to our daily best bets with a leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the best win percentage and ROI. 19 hours of live programming each and every day, including expert breakdowns and in-game analysis, proven betting systems for professional handicappers, and our exclusive betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game as well. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe today to claim again your 14 months of VSiN Pro for only $199, and use that promo code for our show. Help us out. Lombardi, see, we help you, you help us. That's the way that the system works. Welcome back into the Lombardi Line. Stormy Bonantoni and Michael Lombardi with you. And it is time, Michael, to put your GM NFL executive knowledge to work for us, translating some of the sound that we hear coming out of the mouths of all these NFL coaches and quarterbacks specifically during these offseason workouts. So it's time for GM Translator. Yesterday, we heard from Michael Penix Jr. and his approach to the unusual working relationship with Kirk Cousins. Well, now we have also heard from Cousins, Michael. Kirk, what did you think of the news that Atlanta was taking a quarterback at number 8 overall? Let's take a listen to him on Bussin' with the Boys.
You're reminded again that there are things you control, and there's a lot of things you don't control. And so let's deal in reality, and recognize that fact, and then be a steward, not an owner. So I just believe that I got to steward what comes my way and control what I can control, which is what a steward does. But a steward doesn't worry about that which they can't control.
So it's fair to say Kirk Cousins, the Falcons, there's no beef involved.
No, and I don't think there can be. I don't think it's helpful. Like, we're trying to win a Super Bowl, and it's hard enough. Like, you know what I mean? It's hard enough. So let's all be on the same page, and let's try to go win a Super Bowl.
All right, Michael, what's the GM translation?
I got $100 million. I'm happy. It check cleared. It's good in the bank. I'm pretty good. I've got a lot of money set up for not only my generation, my kids' generation, and their generation, their kids' generation. So I'm good. everything's fine. And if they want to do what they want to do, so be it. But, you know, I'm not going to badmouth them because I enjoy their checks and I love the fact that they're cash all the time. So that's what else could he say? What's he going to say? I'm upset.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Michael, $100 million would certainly ease the pain. But yeah, and like he has the right to be upset, obviously, given the situation and the expectation you had in the conversations that you were having with leadership. But I also think that some of what he's saying is true, that like it's not Michael Penix Jr.'s fault that he's in this position. We're still going to do the best that we can, right?
No question. And like the great Arnold Rothstein said, the man who fixed the White Sox World Series, you know, nothing says I'm sorry better than money. And $100 million can say you're sorry, right? Mm. This is the perfect example of it, right? And so, you know, we're sorry we drafted Penix, but you got $100 million in the bank. Can we move on now?
So good. Okay, let's go to Kirko's former team in Minnesota, where two picks after the Michael Penix selection, the Minnesota Vikings took J.J. McCarthy. Here's McCarthy over the weekend, followed by head coach Kevin O'Connell on his early acclimation to the offense.
It was simple because it didn't feel like my first day. You know, I've been going over the offense for a long time now. So being able to go out there and actually perform and execute it, that's new. But it was nothing that, you know, was overwhelming or, you know, too much.
Total learning environment. There really isn't, you know, I know some folks may be keeping track of completions and interceptions and things like that. it's too early for that conversation, I can tell you that much. But yeah, it's all teachable, and that's what makes it this time of year so valuable.
All right, Michael, what's the word?
I think to me it's exactly what you would expect. It's like, look, he's learning, he's studying, he's probably trying to tell you that he's doing the things that a pro needs to do. You know, we said this yesterday, one of the things every college kid who leaves the campus and goes to a pro environment, he must separate himself from no longer being an amateur and becoming a pro. And everything he said there, I agree. I think it was straightforward. I think, you know, it's going to be measured in days, not in weeks. Got to get better every single day.
I sat back and listened to all of JJ's comments this weekend, and like the maturity just oozes from this kid, right? Like, you know, he's mature, he's cerebral, he's dialed in, he's going to do everything it takes to know the playbook inside and out. And like, you have to respect that element to it. And Kevin O'Connell is such a good coach to get him on the right track. Also, speaking to those comments that Kevin O'Connell had about, we're not, you know, there's some people that are tracking completions, saw a tweet there on the Twitter machine from the Athletic NFL that Caleb Williams today at practice didn't have a single incompletion. Keep inflating those Bears markets. Let's go.
I mean, look, you know, football is a game of tackling. Football is a game of physical contact. OTA days has none of that. Like, there's none of that, you know? And so, great, he's had the ball into. I mean, Jake Locklear, when I went to his workout, Jake Locklear up at University of Washington, he threw one incomplete pass out of 65 throws. He's not even in the NFL. It's meaningless. It's meaningless.
Shout out producer Elliot for bringing that to our attention. A ball did not hit the ground. How impressive.
He knows how to annoy me. That Elliot knows how to annoy me perfectly.
Monday, we heard Patriots new head coach Jerod Mayo have some comments on Drake May, that he has some work he needs to do. That is a thought process that's been echoed by a lot of other analysts, by fans alike. Let's hear from Drake May himself when asked about the criticism he's facing.
Jerod said you were here pretty late last night, just going over stuff. What was that, you know, going through your
I mean, I think it's, you know, quarterback, you got to know what everybody's doing on the field in the offense. You got to know all 11. You got to know just, you know, my job. So you got to know what everybody's doing. I think that's, it takes extra time and takes extra drawing up, extra questions.
Do you see what folks are saying? I mean, you get the lay people out here just say, his footwork's a mess. Do you see what people are saying in terms of, hey, yeah, I do have to, those are things I need to work on?
I mean, you know, not every time. Everybody knows what's going on. Just trying to, you know, play ball and try to win games and learn as much as I can.
Some beat writers crack me up. There's a different way to ask that question, but neither here nor there. Michael, what's the GM translator telling you?
He's working hard. He's just trying. But I think what's so fascinating about that conversation that went back and forth is people are saying his footwork is really bad. Okay? All right. If you think his footwork is bad, tell them how to correct his footwork. Do you think the person that's saying his footwork is bad can coach him up on how to correct it? Of course they can. They'd have no idea how to correct it. But they're going to keep saying that his footwork's bad. Like, at some point, like, if you can't correct it, how could you say it? Because the only way you know it's wrong is if you know the right way. Correct?
Sure.
And none of those people know the right way or know what's being asked of them in the system. So it's really just a ridiculous question with no one being able to supply an answer. And so now all of a sudden, you know, we'll get this, you know, this nothing that's provable becomes fact, which is really wrong. And so I feel bad for him. I think the kid's doing a good job. He just got to keep his mouth shut and keep working.
And he's in the NFL now. He's going to have the right people around him to work out some of those kinks. He'll work on whatever footwork issues that he has. He's going to get the scheme down. He's going to work on being under center. Like, that's what this time is for. And he's got Jacoby Brissett right there, who's, I mean, I think we all anticipate him being the starter right away. And so he'll have a little bit of time extra to sit back, watch, and learn and grow and mature and all of those things. Picked just ahead of May at number 2 overall, Jaden Daniels to the Washington Commanders. Here's the reigning Heisman Trophy winner on being the new franchise QB for a historic organization.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a franchise that's eager, you know, be able to go out there and, you know, try to help the team win football games. And obviously, it's new everything here. And, you know, the DMV, this fan base, you know, everybody, they want to see wins. They want to see excitement, want to see joy. So, you know, hopefully that we could go out there, we could do it as a Commanders franchise, as a team. But, you know, that's way down the road. You know, we worry about rookie minicamp and practice tomorrow.
The GM translation, Michael?
Well, he knows how much pressure's on him. He recognizes the fan base hasn't won. He knows just going around town that people expect him to turn it around. And then he backed off and said, you know, let's just give us one day at a time, because that pressure is going to start to get on him. He knows it. He can feel it. You can sense it from certain fan bases. We know it. It happens with the Bears all fans all the time. They're so desperate for their answer, and they may have it in Caleb Williams, but they're going to put so much pressure on the player. It's a little bit like what's going on with Bronny James. I mean, like, why is everybody putting so much pressure on the kid? Just let the kid play. You know, let Daniels play, but that pressure from the outside really becomes a deterrent, and I think you can recognize in his answer that he feels it, and I hope it doesn't affect his play.
Commanders, in terms of the season win total, we as bettors know that those expectations can only go so high, sitting 6.5. It is -120, though, to the over. We'll see how Jaden Daniels performs in his year one in Washington. When we come back on the Lombardi Line, Harry Gagnon, former sportsbook supervisor, now bettor, host of the Against All Odds podcast. He's got plays in the NBA postseason, the PGA Championship, as well as a trifecta box for the Preakness, baby. We'll be right back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's schedule release day in the National Football League, and for as much fun as we're going to have watching all of the team's individual social media videos, we care about the betting side of things, and VSiN's got you covered with special programming tonight. Check out VSiN Prime Time. The NFL schedule release special at 8 p.m. Eastern will give you instant analysis as the schedules come out. Then at 9 Eastern, it's the handle NFL schedule release special. Matt Brown and Mike Somich talking with odds makers, giving their analysis on which bets you can take advantage of. Both specials, again, starting tonight at 8 Eastern, only on VSiN, the sports betting network. And let's dive into that a little bit more. How to approach some of these markets coming off of the schedule release. Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you, and nobody better to do so with than our good friend Harry Gagnon, who is a former sportsbook supervisor, joining us on the Progressive Guest Line, now host of the Against All Odds podcast with Cousin Sal. Welcome in, buddy. Thanks so much for hanging out with us today. But let's go there with the NFL schedule release. Like, what are some things that you're keying in on, looking for, and are you somebody who places bets based on these schedules?
You know what? Hey, guys. Yeah, you know, it's a great day. It's always great to see what the schedule looks like, how it pans out for all the teams. And I know there's over-unders out there already for teams for wins for the season. But more than anything, I would really look towards, and what I will be very interested when the schedule does come out tonight, looking at individual teams, because you're going to look at, you know, a lot of quarterbacks were drafted in the first round. and a lot of these guys are probably going to be playing. So if you're going to go over under and stuff like that, you want to maybe try to get, like, for example, if Bo Nix is going to be the quarterback of the Denver Broncos moving forward, Cortland Sutton is a fantastic receiver. He had a great season last year, but nobody else really is that just blows you away on this Denver team. You figure that Nix is going to struggle. So if your team that you're looking at for over-unders is going to get Nix at the beginning of the season, I would look towards that because that would probably be a win if you're looking for a team. And look at just situations like that where how many rookies are going to be playing and how, do you get to play them early? And if you do, maybe you jump on it and you think about it that way.
Let me ask you, Harry, I asked this to Stormy earlier and I did it with Femi on our podcast. You know, everybody's talking about going to the Super Bowl. May's the happiest month of all. Every team's great. Every draft's great. Caleb Williams didn't touch the ball, didn't touch the ground in practice today. All those great things. So if you were going to make a bet on who has the first pick in the 2025 draft, what four teams would you be looking at?
You know, living here in the Phoenix area, they're talking up the Cardinals a lot here. But I don't know. I don't like this team, Michael, overall. I know they drafted a wide receiver, Harrison Jr. With the fourth overall pick. But still, I'm not a big fan of Kyler Murray. I don't love this offense. I think that's one of the teams that I would look to still have a disappointing season is definitely the Cardinals. I think the Giants are going to be awful. I just do. I just think they really are. I know they're giving Daniel Jones one more shot at it. But still, he hasn't been able to come through. He hasn't had his rookie season still is his best season that he's had. Not a lot of touchdowns. No Saquon Barkley now to hold the defense, to keep the defense honest anymore. So I think it's going to be a struggle for the Giants this year. They're two. Washington, I don't really care for the defensive side of the Commanders either. So they're three. And I would say maybe still Carolina, even though they did improve in some positions, you know, Young still was sacked 62 times last year. To put that in perspective, you know, don't have a lot of receiving help there. He was sacked 62 times last year. Tua was sacked 29. That's just a little bit of, you know, 62 sacks, let alone how many times he was pressured. I think that's the four teams that I'd still look at to be very weak and maybe have the fourth pick in the 2025 draft.
Come on, Harry. They invested like $1 billion in their offensive line. It's got to be a little bit better at least.
I know, but still to get, let's see them get some points. Let's see them put up 27 here and there. You know, it's just every game Carolina last year, it was, they barely could struggle to get 17 points.
I know. Harry Gagnon joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. Make sure you download and subscribe to the Against All Odds podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Let's go to the NBA, though, because coming up tonight, playoff action continues, two big games ahead, and I know you have a wager place in this OKC one.
Yeah, I'm going to lay the points, guys. I'm going to lay the 4.5 here, big fourth quarter in game four for the Thunder. Four of the OKC starters had double digits in points in that game and at least 8 rebounds. Luka had another lame shooting performance for Dallas. Last eight games, he's 16 of 70 from three-point range. SGA carries the Thunder to a 3-2 series lead here, I think. He's at 24 points or more in every playoff game. He's led the team in scoring in all eight. But really, what it is the defense. The defense of the OKC Thunder. This team, in their last 6 of 8 playoff games, they've held their opponents the 96 points or less. SGA, by the way, led the league in steals. Really maybe should have won the MVP. So I got OKC at home in a pivotal game 5, taking it and covering the spread.
Wow. Wow. I like it, Harry. Okay, so let's shift gears a little bit to the PGA in Valhalla, Louisville, Kentucky. With different kind of news has come out. Scottie Scheffler had a baby. Rory McIlroy had filed for divorce. So two different worlds. But you have obviously a lot of interest in playing this. You like Rory at plus 700 to win the tournament. Tell us why.
Yeah, I do. And it's interesting that he after he comes off winning at Quail Hollow for the fourth time in his career, that he announces the divorce. I do like, before I get to why I really like Rory, I do also like, you can find some places, a lot of different books have different props and everything. Rory and Scheffler. Now, remember, I went 1-2 with my two picks in the Masters with you guys. So I do like Rory and Scheffler, both top 10 and ties included. You get plus 140 there. I really like that one. But Rory at plus 700. I know I've always complained about Rory when I take him on the weekends and he screws everybody all the time. All the guys in against the odds, we say the same thing too. But I'm going to roll Rory, who's actually red hot, and I'm going to pass on Scheffler for right now just to win it. Rory, like I said, coming off of Quail Hollow last week, winning his fourth time there. Plus, he won with his partner Shane Lowry in New Orleans 3 weeks ago. He also won in Dubai in January. So the question is, can he do it in the major? Valhalla plays long, just like he likes to hit the ball on his tee shots. He hasn't won a major in 10 years, and it just happens to be that Valhalla in 2014 was when he won his last major, when he has four, when he shot 16 under. Probably going to regret this a little bit because Rory, like I said, always screws me on the weekends, but I'm going to roll with McIlroy, the guy who's getting divorced. Maybe he can just focus on golf. I don't know what the deal is there, but at plus 700, Rory to win it.
And they are 1-2 on the odds board as well. Scottie Scheffler, your 4-1 favorite, but Rory McIlroy, 7-1. We'll see if he can go back-to-back there. Also, let's get to a little horse racing action here because no one loves a trifecta box more than me. So when I saw that in the rundown today, I got a little flutter in my stomach. I was so excited. What are you looking at?
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to do this one. How about this? Exacta box, trifecta box. I'm going to go the 5-7-8. I'm going to take Mystic Dan, who was fantastic in the Derby, won the Derby, obviously held off Sierra Leone to win it. I'm going to take, so I'm going to take Mystic Dan. I'm going to also take Just Steal, the other horse, the only other horse that's in the field that was racing in the Derby that day. And I'm going to take the 8. I'm going to take the 8, Tuscan Gold. Only two races to his credit. Came in third in the Louisiana Derby, but was leading most of it. And then this other race, a smaller claim race, he did finish first. So 5-7-8, let's box it, exacta and trifecta. Not a ton of horses here. That's sort of the norm as we depart from the Kentucky Derby and as we head into the Preakness. But still, I'm going to go 5-7-8, Stormy, box it.
What do you think of the Preakness? I mean, what do you think it's going to take to win this race? And do you think weather's going to be – I mean, it's been bad weather, and it's supposed to be bad weather all week on the East Coast.
Yeah, you know, this is it's interesting. I really was hoping Sierra Leone was going to race in this, but that horse is a closer, probably waiting for the Belmont instead and have him be ready for that. So that makes this wide open because not a lot of horses here, not a lot of horses that can close, not the longest distance either. So I just think it's going to be again up for grabs. I'm going to throw in Tuscan Gold that is like 8-1. Hopefully that can come in second. Maybe it wins and then really pumps up the price. But I'm not sure here. I know Brian Hernandez Jr. is on Mystic Dan. The horse is going off at like 5-2 right now. So it's probably going to be the favorite as it goes off. So maybe Mystic Dan's in there. I probably think it will be. Maybe it doesn't win. We can get a better price here with, like I said, Tuscan Gold at the 8 spot and the 7 Just Steal with Joel Rosario on it.
Harry, you're the man. When's the next Against All Odds coming out?
It's out today. Out today. We recorded last night. It's out today. And also, you know, by the way, we're also on FanDuel TV on Friday. So you can always catch us on that station too.
Great stuff as always, buddy. Thanks for joining us.
Great, guys. Take care.
Thank you, Harry.
Harry Gagnon. Follow him on X at AAO Harry. And of course, like I mentioned, download and subscribe the Against All Odds podcast. He and Cousin Sal, the Degenerate Trifecta, having a bunch of fun out there. We're going to hit the break. I still think that Mugatu is not getting enough respect in the Preakness, but that's just me. Had to scratch in the Kentucky
Good
Derby, but baby, he's back.
Good
20-1. We love a bomb. We love a bomb. Okay. We will be right back closing things out on the Lombardi Line with a special edition of Why Not Wednesday, as well as our pro tip of the day. You will not want to miss it. Closing things out in a moment.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The NBA postseason is heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. New customers bet just $5 and get a $150 bonus bet instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the code VSiN, V-S-I-N, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Time for our pro tip of the day as we wrap up our 2 hours here on the network, Michael. And you made a really good comment earlier in the program, because we're talking about the schedule release as it comes out later on tonight. And we looked at some of the on paper strength of schedules prior to actually knowing the order of those games that they came out. And you made a good point about focusing on the division when you're looking at some of these season win totals. Why? And explain that a little bit further if you can.
Well, because we know the divisions, you know, the strength of schedule can be a little misleading because it's based off last year's team. And one of the things that I've learned through studying analytics and all that goes back to Aristotle, where he says you can't use something that's changed as an analytical element. Well, the team from last year, the Carolina Panthers, for example, are a different team this year than they were last year. If you had Houston on your schedule last year, this time last year, you count that as a W. It was an easy win for you. Well, it didn't turn out that way because they changed their team. And I think you have to kind of look at the collective group of the team, what they've done in the offseason before that. And then you look at the scheduling, right? So you want to see, like, what's the easiest, what in your opinion, what do you think the easiest schedule is and division is? Okay, is it the NFC East because it's Hurts and Prescott, and then we're not sure about the other two quarterbacks? Okay, that's something. So the NFC East plays the South, the NFC South, and they play the AFC North. That's going to be a hard division for them, right? The East has to go play four hard teams. They don't have, you know, and so if you're thinking that the Cowboys are going over 10.5, they have a hard schedule because the North, whether you're Cincinnati's a different team than they were last year, even though they finished in fourth place. So you have to go back to the scheduling and the teams, not the strength of schedule.
Yeah, I think
does that make sense?
For sure. I think the division is a great angle and a way to look at it. And And also, if you are somebody who likes looking at strength of schedules and you do find value in it, the win totals for this year are at least a better predictor than looking just at opponent wins from a year ago, because those do take into account the offseason things and what has gone into it to this point. So interesting perspective. Love that. VSiN Pro Tips, again, available at VSiN.com each and every day. Every single show does them, and they're searchable by sport and by show. So if you want tips specifically from Michael and I's show, that's the way that you can do it. But now it is time, as we round out this Wednesday edition of the program, for a little Why Not Wednesday. Hit that open.
Maybe a stupid one, but I'm just spitballing here.
Can it make you say why not?
That wasn't a stupid question.
It's time for Why Not Wednesday.
I mean, why not?
You know when they say it's so crazy it just might work?
Now, Michael, usually I'm just hitting you with long shots, but there is a bet that I am contemplating tonight in the NBA, and I need your help if you're going to talk me into or out of it. It's in the Boston Celtics game coming up tonight. Jason Tatum is 0-for-9 on his three-point prop, hitting the over. He's averaging 6.5 three-point attempts per game, but has not gone over 2 in a single postseason game to this point. I can't jump on the under bandwagon at this point, so should I take the over? Will the trend end here tonight in a game that they're obviously trying to dominate and close out on home court? Can he hit 3 or more three-pointers tonight?
Well, you just be playing the contrarian play. There's no evidence that he's going to hit the over. So what you're doing is, if you're looking for evidence to bet the contrarian, you're not going to find it. So if you want to be a contrarian bettor, which a lot of people are, Stormy, a lot of people just take the opposite side of the public because they realize the house is making so much money. And so they go on the side of the house, and that's what you would be doing. So I don't think you need me to talk you into it, because I can't sit here with any confidence to say that Tatum's going to break out of this three-point shooting slump. What I can say to you is eventually he will. Now, if you got the right date, that's great. If you have the wrong date, not so good. But I think, to me, when you're playing contrarian, you're not looking for data to support your play. You're looking to just go with the house.
2 of 8 each of the last 2 games from 3. We'll see if he can break the slump tonight. Minus 118 to the over, minus 102 to the under on DraftKings right now. Okay. How about the Denver Nuggets? Had a dominant win yesterday. They have won 3 straight since dropping 0-2 at home to start the series. Can you say why not at plus 275 for them to win the whole shebang and go back to back?
I think I could say that. I think one thing about a warrior, a champion. When they get put in a corner, they rally back. And one thing you also see about a champion is how important is it? Because it's easy to say, okay, we were champion, we're going to go home now, we're okay. But not this Nugget team. And they've made the best defensive team in basketball. The Minnesota Timberwolves look like they can't play basketball. Look like they can't play defense. So I could easily say why not to this.
I think absolutely why not. They had their wake-up call in my mind. And the Celtics being an odds-on favorite, minus 130, minus 135 right now, I understand that they're looking like the best team and they're going to dominate the East all the way through. But the Nuggets are a different animal, in my opinion. How about the Pacers to win the series against the Knicks, Michael? We loved New York last night at MSG, but I don't know if they can close it out. You're getting a plus money price on the Pacers if they could win one on the road, plus 215.
You know, that Garden is too electric for me to say why not to this. Does it go seven? Could. Do I think it goes seven? No, I think the Knicks will win tomorrow night. But or Friday night when they play, but I'm not getting this. I don't think the Pacers can win a game seven. I mean, they rolled up. Halliburton took what, nine shots? TJ McConnell took eight in like 14 minutes. Like, at some point, your best player has to raise his level of play, and I think that's a really hard place to play right now in the Garden.
Knicks a minus 270 favorite in the series. Knicks in six, plus 185. In seven, plus 155. And if you think the Pacers can win it in seven, again, that number, plus 215. We talked about the Boston Celtics, Michael. It seems like they are poised and destined to be in the NBA Finals. But at plus 475, could you say why not to them getting eliminated in the conference final?
No, I don't think I could say why not to that. I just think they're too good. I mean, look, I think the Knicks are a great story. Do I think Boston will sweep the Knicks? No. Do I think it'll be a good series? Yes. But I do think their talent will prevail over the long haul. And look, they could get Porzingis back for this, right? And if they do, that makes them even more deadly. I don't think they can become eliminated. I don't think you're going to get me to say why not on this one, Stormy. I just don't see them not being able to be their pathway. It can't get set up any easier than it is right now.
Yeah, it feels like a no shot, not a why not. Let's stick with the theme of green, the New York Jets. Could you say why not to them winning their season opener on Monday Night Football against the 49ers? 2-1 the price.
You know, I could definitely say why not to that. And why not to opening day? You have to really spend time working on your handicapping. That's why I think it's really important. You buy the guides, promo code Lombardi, you get a discount, because you really need to understand how teams approach opening day and the effect of what teams do in the preseason and what teams kind of operate with. We know the Jets defensively, they play more man-to-man than they ever have before. You know, are the Niners receivers going to be ready to deal with that? Is Ayuk going to be in camp? Can they throw the ball outside the numbers? How good is the Niners defense? I think opening day is always, always the uncertainty. And how teams prepare for opening day based on past performance is a really good indication on what they'll do.
And the 49ers have had a mixed bag of season openers under Kyle Shanahan, 3-3 the 6 years since he's been the head coach, yep. Alternating wins and losses each year. They beat the Steelers on the road 30-7 last year. So will they get back to the other side of that? Last one here. Giants quarterback Drew Lock to start in week one, plus 275. Could you say why not to him getting the gig to start over Daniel Jones?
I would say why not, only if there's an injury. And we're not sure that Daniel Jones is going to be 100% healthy. I doubt he'll play much in the preseason, but those neck injuries are always problematic. You know, I think they tried to sign Russell Wilson. They were involved in the draft. I could easily put a pizza wager on this as a why not. It's a lukewarm why not, but I could see it. It's only if Jones is hurt.
Yeah. Coming off the ACL, obviously, multiple neck injuries now. And, like, the reports that we've read from a lot of these reputable insiders, they don't just come out of thin air that there is a possibility that Drew Lock could be the guy. Again, plus 275, the price right there. Daniel Jones, the buyer's remorse, still questionable from Giants brass on that one. Fun show as always today. Great edition of Why Not Wednesday, Michael. And I'll see you same time, same place coming up tomorrow. Sound good?
Good luck with your Tatum play, Stormy.
Prayers up, indeed. Sharp Money is coming up next on VSiN. More football talk with Ross Tucker if you're watching on DraftKings Network. And for your bets and mine, may the odds be ever in our favor this evening.